Welcome to Career Tools. 2021 Recruitment Update, Part 2. Questions that this podcast is going to answer. What's happening in the job market right now? A lot. Mm-hmm. What opportunities are there for me right now? Well, it depends, but more than ever. And what do you need to know right now? Folks, if you're a listener, but you're not a licensee, I urge you to consider becoming a licensee. Most importantly, lately, it gives you access to Executive Tools, which is our new bi-weekly cast where we address issues about being an executive. And it addresses specifically the issue of going from manager to an executive, which is one of the hardest transitions that most people make. And there's even less help for that than there was when you got promoted to be a manager for the first time, if you're a manager. You also get access to our interviewing series and a bunch of products that used to be sold separately, but now are all included in the $200 annual price. And we've just announced that if you retire from your professional life after having been a licensee for 2 years, you get to stay on the Things I Think newsletter as long as you'd like at no charge. So a little bonus, a little lanyap in there. Hope you become a licensee. Thanks. Now you got to tell me about this pre-searching. I don't like people. I really don't like this pre-searching thing. Full disclosure, right up front, because open to opportunities has been around since before I was a professional. Mm-hmm. It is a way of thinking that most people don't realize they can be while still being employed. But pre-searching sounds like something that was invented by a blogger.
I have no information about the source, but let me explain how it was explained to me.
That should tell us something. Just saying, folks. I'm on your side here, folks. I don't know.
So companies' plans for their workforce returning to work in the office run the gamut from keeping everyone at home and closing offices to bringing everyone back on a drop-dead date. And large companies are making very public decisions and publicizing what they're doing. And at smaller companies, by which we mean companies with less than 100,000 people, are waiting to see what happens. They're waiting, they're watching the big companies and thinking, okay, so Google says everyone's back and Yahoo says everyone's going to stay at home. Let's see which one does better. And so employees where the company has enacted a decision and that the actual happening won't happen for 60 to 90 days, and in the companies where they're still waiting to decide, those candidates are pre-searching, i.e. they're looking for jobs that they would be able to take if the company doesn't do whatever their preference is. Exactly. So they're looking for a job now so that when the deadline arrives, they'll have at least one opportunity, which is their preference, whether it's in or out.
Yeah, okay. I take away my strongly worded disfavor. I get it. I don't have any problem with that. Even though we honor organizations here, which is less popular all the time, we also recognize that organizations and individuals are engaged in an economic contract. And the great thing about the capitalistic system is it relies on individual freedom. If you don't have any individual freedom, everything collapses really fast. And so in this case, individual freedom says you get to choose. When Danny, who used to work here, left, I mean, I hadn't had anybody leave a company that I had founded in years and years and years, but when she left, I couldn't argue with her. Her husband wanted to retire and they had other stuff to do. And I was thrilled for her because either I trust her and she's free, and I do trust her because she worked here for years, and she's a free person. She knows what's best for her. And don't ever think you know better what's best for another person than they do, other than your children. And so I was thrilled. In fact, I seem to remember that she was surprised that I wasn't upset. I was thrilled. I'd known her for 20 years and she's off to something better. How do I know it's better? Because she tells me it's better. It's exactly what it is, right?
Yeah. And I'll tell a random tangent story about that. We say to people, don't tell anybody at work. Apart from your manager, you tell them you're resigning. You don't say anything. You don't hint. You don't give any clue that you might be landing. Danny and I were really good friends. And at the beginning of ops, our operations where the whole team comes together on a meeting on a Friday morning, Mike said, I've got an announcement. I'll tell you at the end. And I thought it was about him getting married. And he got to the end of ops and he said, and Danny's leaving us. And I had no clue, nothing.
No clue.
And I burst into tears because I was so upset. And I texted her and said, is that true? Because I couldn't believe it. So that's how to do the whole secret thing.
Yeah.
Not an inkling.
She had called me, I think, 2 days before. And I had called Mike, losing such an important person as her. And he said, okay, we'll announce it on ops. So tip of the hat to Danny. We miss you. And we're happy you're in a better place. Yeah, so some companies are proposing salary adjustments for employees who continue to work from home, especially if they're working from home in, say, Montana, which is cheaper to live in than, say, San Francisco. Beforehand, if you were working from home, they would offer you a reduced salary because the salary they offer you for coming to the mothership was based on cost of living adjustments. Mm-hmm. Very different situation here, though, when somebody was working in the mothership and is now out in the boonies, and they are essentially getting their in-the-office salary, but now companies are trying to normalize that. And so it makes sense that those people would pre-surge. I think there will be people who think, I should be able to get an in-office salary from working from home. And I think the market will gradually catch up to you and realize, yeah, that's not how the market will work.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people are willing to leave because of the salary versus location thing. And that's fine. And those people are looking for roles which meet their requirements, which we talked about just now. Have a benchmark. Choose the job that meets your requirements. And what your requirements are is absolutely personal to you.
Yeah. If you're a licensee, you know that you get things I think every week. And a couple of weeks ago, I wrote about working from home and about the marketplace. And I said, you know, there's a lot going on and you need to know what you want. And your quality of life matters. And most people would say their quality of life without a commute, without a big city commute anyway, is significantly improved. For those people whose jobs do not require physical presence, if you're working at a Navistar or a Daimler truck facility, you have to go there and lay hands on the equipment, so you're not going to get a job working from home. Although maybe if you're in finance, you could work from home some of the time. And for those people who have the option, who tend to work at what we would call desk work, or we'll call knowledge workers, although that Peter Drucker phrase has changed in the last 50 years, you have to make a choice. And the company is also making a choice. And every day you show up at work, that's a choice. And every day, every month the company pays you, that's a choice. And you may discover that you've learned from working from home that there are significant quality of life benefits, and you're going to have to monetize them to determine whether or not it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So just, it makes things interesting. There's a lot of tumult. There's a lot of chaos, relative chaos in the marketplace. Okay. What does this mean for your career?
There's two types of information reported in the press: sweeping generalizations and interesting exceptions. Oh,
that is so good. That is so good.
And neither of those are helpful in making decisions about your career. You need much more specific information. It doesn't matter if every insurance company in the US is going fully remote, if the owner of the small company that you work for has decided everyone who works for him will work in the office. You know, because ABC News is not reporting a 10-person company in Alabama. Equally, it doesn't matter if the whole of your large company is going to work in the office and that's been announced to the press. If your manager is prepared to make an exception for you to allow you to continue to work from home, which managers will in some places for some people. And so those sweeping generalizations and the interesting exceptions are no use to you.
Yeah. I used to tell people all the time that there is no family with 2.4 kids, actual family with 2.4 kids living 50 miles north of Wichita, Kansas, which is the geographic center of the continental United States, the lower 48. When I was in Australia once, I said, I'm pretty sure that there's nobody living in the geographic center of Australia, somewhere out in the boonies near Alice Springs. And they corrected me that it wasn't Alice Springs. There was some other small town near there. But they admitted, no, we know where the geographic center is. Nobody would want to live there, and nobody does live there. And that's the sweeping generalization. They take this large mean or average, and it doesn't apply to you. It reminds me of David Ogilvy's famous quote, consumers are statistics. Customers are people. Generalizations are about what the market is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You may have something in the median of the market, at the high end of the market, or the low end of the market. You're the customer as opposed to the consumer. You're the individual rather than all the market forces combined.
And so inside and outside your company, your network is the window into what's happening in your industry, your specialism, and your location. If the choices you have with working from home or not working from home and the job you're doing and the flexibility and the hours and the salary or whatever, then gather information or data from your network about the other choices that you have. But you need to be specific, because you could jump out of the frying pan and into the fire, as they say, if you believe that all insurance companies are going fully remote. And that hold for IT specialists in insurance companies in North Dakota. But a well-developed network will give you the right information. And even if you're not searching now, work your network and your relationships, because you never know when you'll need them.
You'll never know. And how many times have we said that the most important career tools cast?
Every single cast, I think.
Build your network. Yeah. And half the world doesn't want to do it. And the other half wins because of it. And it's a shame.
So what does that mean for managers?
Yeah. So again, retention is not one and done. Your employees might tell you they're not looking to move now, but that doesn't mean they're not pre-searching. And they're evaluating what you do and what the company does and how their family deals with it and so on. And managers are responsible for results and retention. Results may be really hard, and you may really need your people who work in all the time, but people don't work nonstop for 8, 9, 10 hours a day. They take breaks and so on. And during those breaks, if they have concerns about their career situation, they're going to be pre-searching. There, I said it. And look, there's no question that we all learned in the last 18 months how much more flexible we can be about getting our work done. And continuing to think that way will help you retain your directs. And let's be clear about something. We want to treat people equitably, but not necessarily equally. This idea of fairness when it comes to management is ludicrous. Oh, we have to treat everybody the same. I'll never forget presenting to some fairly senior people saying that our coaching model wouldn't work for them because I couldn't choose to coach my top performer with a lighter touch than my bottom performer. The bottom performer deserved the same loose structure that the top performer was getting. I said, well, that's like saying a pitcher always has to throw fastballs, right? Mm-hmm. Or I have to throw fastballs to both the fastball hitter and the guy who likes curveballs. That's where these kind of models break down. So you can tell your top person that he can leave every Thursday at 4 to coach Little League. And you can tell Sue, who works for you, that she can go on a training course. And that may mean that she can't leave at 4 because of the nature of her job. And that may mean that the other guy can't go on the training course. Telling one direct they can leave early a given day of the week doesn't mean you have to allow everybody to. Even when HR will imply that you should, or you're being unfair. In fact, as a general rule, when you make those kind of things, they ought to be based on performance, as a general rule.
I used to work for a high S organization, and I've talked about this before. They used to give you your birthday as a day off work because they thought that was the nice thing to do. And I was horrified. I thought the one place that I don't want to be is at home on my own on my birthday. I'd much rather be at work. It was a benefit, but it wasn't what I wanted. I would rather have had something else. And so, that's how you treat your team, according to what they want, need, whatever.
I would think most people want a day off after their birthday.
Smart people.
Yes. Yes. I actually like work. I want to go to work on my birthday. And I'm happy with just a text, happy birthday, and then leave me alone. I'm an adult, after all. Okay. Next, economic upheaval means consolidation. Interesting.
Which means I get to tell my favorite quote, which is Rhett Butler in Gone with the Wind. He says, I told you once before that there are two times for making money, one in the upbuilding of a country and the other in its destruction. Slow money on the upbuilding and fast money in the crack up. And it doesn't matter what the economic situation is, some people are making money. And the more changeable the economic situation, the faster it's changing, either positive or negative, the more activity there will be.
Yes.
And that means companies buying and selling one another.
Especially in the highly capitalistically juiced market of virtually 0% interest rates. Mm-hmm. And the stock market doing well because the stock market is about the future. And the general populace, the people in the market, believe that things are going to get better. Yeah. During a recession, companies with cash buy other companies' assets at a discount. Hey, race don't chase. During a boom, companies buy other companies' assets at a higher price because they have higher profits and they have, therefore, money to invest. They also buy because it's a fast way to increase production, to grow themselves, and growth is a corporate imperative in most cases. Now, sometimes companies grow too fast and they crash. And again, different people make money. Because consumer demand is currently high and candidate supply low, one way to quickly capitalize on that demand for a company is to buy out another company. That increases your workforce without going through the hiring process, or you could say it's a mass hiring process. Mm-hmm. In other situations, companies buying out others would lead to layoffs in the acquired company. But in this case, they'll probably keep people and just make it accretive to earnings. Now, what does that mean for careers?
Business mergers and acquisitions are generally very secretive. The negotiations are kept to a very select few people in a company for a multitude of reasons, but you know, usually it's only a few people that know.
Some of them legal, by the way.
Yes, exactly.
Having been involved in those, yeah.
And we have a podcast called Layoff Signs and What to Do About Them, which tells you what kind of situations presage a layoff. But if you listen or read that one, if you've got a license reading it, it's quicker, you can do that now because the same kind of situations presage mergers and acquisitions.
Oh, I like that. Good.
And then pay close attention to the news in your industry and stay.
Can I just stop you there? Close attention to your news in your industry. I'd be willing to bet less than 10% of the people listening right now do that. They don't have a Google feed, an RSS feed. They don't go to certain places, industry websites and so on, and to find out what the competitors are doing, who's hiring, who's not, who's opening up a new branch office, who's closing something down, who's consolidating, who's expanding, who's got a big new line of credit or whatever. I am astounded by this. I ask people all the time, who are your five biggest competitors? Some can name two. None. I've never had a person say, here are our five biggest mm-hmm. competitors.
It's ridiculous. Sorry.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. So yeah, pay close attention to the news in your industry and stay in touch with your network. Even though the negotiations are secretive, announcements are often not unexpected. Those people with good commercial sense are able to predict companies which might be available for purchase or have spare cash to make a purchase of a company. Like even Apple's launches are predicted.
Which are secretive.
Yeah.
Very
super
secretive.
Super secretive. I mean,
but they're predicted a lot.
We have really good friends at Apple and they don't tell us anything. And yet 90% of what they announce is predicted. The timing and what it's going to be and roughly, you know, and so on. And smaller companies aren't that careful. And if you know what's happening, you get warning. And that gives you the best chance of being ahead of others when announcements are made and making the best choice for you, whatever that is.
Okay, good.
So what for the managers?
Yeah. So there is a cast for you. Managing during mergers and acquisitions will get you through the whole process. Many managers become paralyzed because the senior people are all talking about the merger or the acquisition, and they're all involved in meetings. And they talk about being in the meetings because it makes them sound cool. It makes them sound like masters of the universe. And you can't get decisions made. And things that your boss usually hold on to just don't get done because the big thing is the merger or the acquisition. Well, you need to keep getting your job done. And so that may mean, okay, I expected her to do it. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And remember, you don't know what's about to change today when you're not in an M&A situation and you're taking action anyway. So you can lead your team during an unprecedented pandemic and the recovery afterwards. You can, if you can do that, then you can handle a merger, an acquisition, or whatever else gets thrown at you next. And look, the guidance that Wendy just shared about what that means for your career applies to you too. You're a manager, but you're also a person with a career. Don't let the day-to-day pull of management overcome any time you might need to be spending on your network, on relationships, on information gathering, and working on your own plans. I've been telling people for years, I always make it a point during the holidays in the United States between Thanksgiving and Christmas, carve out some time when things are a little slower. And of course, someone always says, it's not any slower. Okay, fine. So stay up late one night after you finish wrapping presents and start building your systematic, regular provision of news, a feed, an RSS feed or whatever, get a RSS reader of all the news that happens in your industry. It should take no more than 10 minutes. And then if you want, add all the companies that you have stock in. And then if you want, two or three other industries and companies that interest you. And pretty soon, you'll feel a lot smarter. And you'll look a lot smarter to your colleagues. And you say, yeah, did you hear they're buying so-and-so? No, how'd you know that? I read it last night. That shows that you're paying attention. And the more you pay attention, the more you put two and two together and you realize, aha, mm-hmm. now I get it.
Yeah. There's a podcast I listen to that I cannot remember the name of that's about the film industry. And they have a bit at the beginning where they talk about what's in the news and they say Disney Plus is going to do this and NBC is going to do that. And it's really interesting. They're pundits and they know what's happening in those industries, yes. Right? There's no need for you to not know because there's someone somewhere talking about your industry and they know what's going on.
Somebody at Disney Plus knows and they've told their friend and that friend has a podcast or that friend has a blog. And they don't, the people at Disney Plus, no offense to Disney Plus, great, great product, but they don't think I'm blabbing it to the world.
No.
Folks, we're doing everything we can to cover the waterfront when it comes to training. We have client training and we have public training. We have video versions of all of our training. We have virtual versions of all of our training. And we have in-person versions of all of our training. And of course, the podcasts are still free, which covers all the stuff in the training. But the key about the training is you get to practice and you get to ask questions. And lately our sessions have been running long because we're getting so many questions from attendees because companies continue in times of economic difficulty to cut back on their own internal training. And so I think people are leaning on us more heavily. If you haven't been to one of our trainings, we encourage you to come and check them out. Effective communicator, effective manager, effective hiring manager, effective remote manager. Outstanding trainings, and we hope to see you there. Okay, next, brand matters.
So one trend that a recruiter friend of ours is seeing in the marketplace is an increasing concern from candidates about how a company treated its people during the recession, during the pandemic, and their actions towards inclusivity and diversity. So employer brand is the name that marketing and recruitment folks give to the messages they want to send out about what it's like to work at a company. So if we say, we've got a job at Amazon for you, you have an idea of what that means. And, you know, if you go and look on Amazon, they want you to know that they pay 2 times the federal minimum wage and give healthcare benefits on day one.
Yeah,
that's on their website.
Sure.
That's the message that they want to give. Now, what you heard or what you perceive is partly that and partly the news and partly the guy you know who knows someone who knows someone who works at Amazon or whatever. And those decisions, that knowledge guides you in deciding whether or not you want to work there or want to apply there. And an employer brand has always mattered. You know, recruiters and HR people have spent the last 50 years telling hiring managers to treat candidates nicely because they will tell their friends whether or not to come.
Yes.
Even if you're not going to hire someone, be nice because you might actually want to hire their friend.
Smile at people on your way up because you will see them on your way back down.
50 years ago, the only source of information about a company, what the company culture was like, were the people that worked there. But now you have so much information you can't take it in, from pictures and bios of the top managers to sites like Glassdoor where employees can tell all to anyone and everyone.
Yeah. Okay, so what does brand mean for your career? Employer brand.
So the wonderful thing about living in a free country is that you get to choose what's important to you. And whether it's company statements about issues, the makeup of the workforce, the customers served, and whether or not the cafeteria serves vegan food, no one can tell you what will be a deal breaker for you. And as my dad always says, you pay your money and takes your choice.
Yeah, that's right.
It's up to you. If you don't like what a company does, says, the product they make, just don't go work there. Find someone.
This reminds me of our friend, I want to say Lauren, but that's not right. Perhaps you'll help me remember, who has the podcast, the Friends on Fire podcast.
Maggie
Yes, Maggie, you're right. And FIRE is an acronym, F-I-R-E, for Financial Independence Retire Early. And was it you or was it Sarah that she told a story to about how one of her new directs said to her one day, I want to be just like you when I get to your level because you speak totally without fear in meetings. You don't hesitate to disagree with people. Now, people love you because you're nice. She's a very nice person. And she says, yeah, you know, and she didn't really have time at the time to say to her, that's because I've saved like 5 years of my salary by being really careful about costs over the years, keeping our costs way down. The podcast, by the way, is great. They give you all kinds of ideas about becoming financially independent. So you don't have to feel wedded to your job because of your mortgage. And if you'll do that kind of hard work day to day, week to week in the background with your family, and you'll discover, by the way, that your quality of life will not be any better if you have a $50,000 car than if you have a $25,000 car. Somebody asked me, what is the single most important thing you consider when you buy a car? I thought it was a silly question because I'm not a car guy, but I said, reliability.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, I just take that for granted. I said, no, I don't think you should. I really don't. The most important thing is it starts every single time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And I just think if you're smart and you take care of all those things, then suddenly, if, as recently I answered a question from a licensee who wrote in, said, what do? I went to a company, I discovered it's wrong. I said, well, you leave. But now you're just back in the place where you don't leave until you have warmed up your network again and said, hey, I've made a mistake and I'm ready to look at other opportunities again. And, you know, if the people in your network know you well.
And please don't be afraid to say that because everybody's done it. Like,
yeah.
People are embarrassed that they got fired or they made a mistake. They went somewhere and it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. Everybody's done it once, at least once.
Okay. But a note of caution. Jobs are like husbands or spouses, right? Hmm. You don't get one thinking you can change it. Don't join a company that has negatives for you thinking that you're going to be the one that's going to change it. I just had a call with somebody. I'm a middle manager at a very well-known company. The culture is very frat boy. There's harassment and so on, and I can't change the culture. And I said, okay, you're not going to change the culture. Don't do anything unethical, immoral, illegal, or anything that makes you want to throw up. And start looking. And, you know, if you have to resign over a moral issue, okay, resign over a moral or ethical issue. But I also told him the chances that what you're actually talking about is a moral or ethical issue is very, very small. But yeah, it happens all the time. And people think, no, I love what they do. I love three or four of the people there. I can make a difference in that culture. You can if you're the CEO. And otherwise, you can't. Not because the company doesn't need to be changed, but you're one and you have relatively less power than everybody above you. I try to remind people, every boss above your boss has an order of magnitude more power. 10x.
Yes.
So there's no way. You don't have the leverage. Archimedes was wrong in that way. Give me a lever and a place to stand and I can move the world. It would be a very long lever. Look. If you were going to stay there and you're going to try to change it, the effort you make to change it takes time away from what you're supposed to be doing, which is results, and that affects your likelihood of a successful career. And unfortunately, if you're new, you're not going to change anything. It's going to take a couple of years before you have credibility. Now, look, over 20 years, wives get their husbands to change, and over 20 years at your company, you might make a difference. As we like to say, you want to change your boss, get promoted twice.
So what does that mean for managers?
Yeah. So for managers and also for executives, diversity brings strength. All the research we've read says that the more diverse a team, the better the ideas and the more success the team will have. individuals surrounded by people who are different, think differently. They come up with better solutions than those that are surrounded by people who tend to think the same. When you're recruiting, make efforts to diversify. When you get resumes from different types of candidates, from different backgrounds and so on, don't overgeneralize. Just because you got one bad candidate from Ohio State, and I can't imagine there's only one bad candidate from Ohio State. I'm kidding. I had two brothers go to Southern Cal. That doesn't mean that all candidates from Ohio State or any other attribute are bad. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. I actually think one of my superpowers is resume screening, because I can look at 50. When people say, I got 50 resumes to take home, yeah, that's not hard.
No, that's like half an hour.
Yeah, it's not hard at all. Yeah, it's no big deal. Now, I don't do it when I'm watching TV because I feel like that's disrespectful to each person you put together. Yeah, you have to pay attention, but nevertheless. We're not suggesting just diversity in the common usage of that. Choose your team members based on their skills, their attributes, and what they bring to the team. Okay? Ignore everything else. Companies who want to create a diverse workforce, and hopefully that should be all of them, have to be aware of their brand as an employer. And because information is so available, it's over-available now, you can't just have nice words. In fact, if you have nice words and you don't have the details to back it up, the actual proof to back it up, that is worse than having no nice words at all. You know, Johnson & Johnson credo, we must provide an inclusive work environment where each person must be considered as an individual. As a J&J manager, and as somebody who's a good friend of your chairman and CEO, I will tell you, you had better. You got to be doing that all time, every day. And it oughtn't be hard because it isn't hard to do that. All right. So next point, the churn will continue.
Yes. So there's normally two periods in a year where the labor market is particularly liquid, January and September. Vacancies are caused by the effect of New Year energy and then vacations. So New Year energy is the new year, new me, new job, and like more people leave their job, which means there's more vacancies, which causes more liquidity. And then after the summer break, people return to work after a vacation. That also gives them time to reflect and means that, you know, often people decide to look for something new. So September, that new school year energy often means people leaving, which means vacancies, which means churn. But because of the unusual circumstances of the pandemic, churn is high now in July when we wrote this. It's still high now in August. As we record this, and we expect it to stay high through the January period next year. And because of the high number of vacancies due to demand, the employers and the employees' changing requirements around working from home, the long period of reflection that we had while we were in lockdown, the weaker relationships caused by working from home, of that combined to make that high quit rate that we saw earlier. It's like a supercharged January.
Good. Yeah.
And because jobs can't be filled instantly, and because employers will give long lead times about changes in requirement, causing that pre-searching, because we think we're Zoom fatigued, this churn period is just going to continue.
Yeah.
And there is always a percentage of people who move jobs and find the job is not what they wanted, as we said just now. Those people stay for 3 to 6 months and then they move on because they, you know, it just wasn't what I wanted and I'll try again. And so because there's so many people moving right now, there will be another bump in 3 to 6 months where the percentage of people who didn't find the right thing first time around will move again. There's a lot of churn going on.
All right. Okay, good. So the churn is happening. What does that mean for careers?
So don't make any sudden moves. You don't need to because this churn is going to last for 6 months or more. There is continually new vacancies and there are hundreds of opportunities every month that could be great for you. There's no need to fear missing out. FOMO.
Oh, FOMO. Yeah. Arguably one of the stupidest things that was ever invented by mankind.
As long as you're plugged into a great network, you are going to hear about it. And if a great opportunity comes up, the people in your network who like you will tell you about it. You're not going to miss out.
Yeah.
And remember this uncertainty. We all live with uncertainty every day, but we forget when things are calmer. We thought nothing could change and then everything
Everything did.
Anytime your company or manager announces their plans, they are just that, plans. And they can and will be changed. Companies will do what they think works best. And if it doesn't, they'll do something else. If they say everyone's coming back to the office and it doesn't work, they'll let everybody work from home again. They just will.
Yeah.
You are not stuck in a situation you don't want to be in, even if it seems like that temporarily.
Yeah.
And for managers.
Yeah. Okay, that's easy.
Did we mention retention yet?
Retention, yeah. The extreme danger period just increased by 100%. Now, it's not just January and August. It's July all the way through till January, at least. Now is the time to be focusing on retention. If you thought this was the time you could let up because you got to focus on getting something out the door, you got to find a way to balance those two things. And you could use your one-on-one to do it. You should probably write a big R, Romeo, with a circle around it on your next 4 or 5 one-on-one forms for all of your directs or the notebook you put it in to remind you. That should be the theme of everything. Many hopeful reports said that when we go back to work normally, the pressure is going to lift, right? Hey, you read stuff that says, yeah, things are going to lift. No, it's not. Going back to the office will be as hard as going remote was. Rise in demand, candidate shortage, goods and services shortages, inflation. They're all going to influence this next year, and there's going to be continuous unpredictability. Having learned to manage during a very difficult period, which you clearly have, managers, you have the skills to adapt. Just don't forget, your adaptation will be a great deal harder if you start losing people. So, Wendy, that was long.
It was long.
You want to summarize?
I will. So, jobs in the broadest sense are always hot topics in the business news. The number of jobs filled and vacant, and the number of people who are employed and unemployed are important indicators of a wider economic situation and the trends. And a wise professional is aware of the reports and their meanings. But the only jobs report that really matters to you is the one in your house. When there's reports of high unemployment, what matters is you have a job. If you want to change job, it doesn't matter how many vacancies there are in the entire country, but it matters how many vacancies there are for which you can get an offer. For every report you see, drill down. What does this mean for you?
Yeah. Oh, this is a tour de force.
We've
been recording for over an hour, and we did it on both sides. I love it. Wendy, thank you as always for another great Career Tools thing. And I promise we'll talk about retention. I can't afford to lose you.
You heard it here first, folks.
That's it, folks. We talk about this stuff all the time, and we want you to know as much as we possibly can about what we know. And hopefully we filled you up with good information. Send us emails if we can help. And for those of you who haven't heard us say it before, if listening to this takes a lot of your time, become a licensee and you can read it in about 1/10 of the time. Okay, thanks all. We'll see you next week.